last more than 30 years. I keep hanging on to it, though. Colossians chapter 3, please. Colossians. Chapter 3, verse 1. If or since ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them, and now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, nor circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are also, you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Right. There's a whole list of things that God goes through there in that section. At the end, well, that section we just read, it says, and be ye thankful. Right. I thought we'd look at the topic of and be ye thankful today for a few minutes. In other part of Colossians, it says, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And he puts it another way in Colossians chapter 2. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Thankfulness is gives an incredible blessing to your life. It's those people who are thankful in their lives can live and will live very, very blessed lives. And contrary, those who are unthankful, right, will have dire consequences to their lives. Right? In Romans chapter 1, it's interesting, in verse 18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. So it was obvious. I mean, it wasn't like it was what God had done for man was clear to man. For even the invisible things, verse 20 of him, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Like, there's nothing, it's not hidden, right? If we ever think, well, what if this person never knows about God? And well, God says it's pretty obvious. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There is no excuse, right, to not believe in God. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Did they know him?
Yes.
Yes. See, it doesn't say they didn't know about him. They knew God. They glorified him not as God, neither were what?
Thankful.
Right? They weren't thankful. So one of the things that, if you read the rest of that chapter, that underscores the fall of these people that God is talking about is lack of thankfulness. Thankfulness for God, that he was God. Right? They weren't thankful for that. And as a result, you can read the rest of the chapter sometime. First, let's go to Psalm 100 while we're here. Psalm 100, not here actually, sorry. While we're in the Bible. Psalm 100. Verse 1. Now, if you read, you know, there are a lot of scriptures in the Bible about thankfulness and thanksgiving. And if you, in the Old Testament, I mean, you'll see they considered thankfulness to God such an important part of worship that they actually had people who were designated as the thanksgiving section. And they had one on the left and one on the right. They were both to give thanks continually, right, to God. And if you read the, you know, we're not going to read all those verses in the Old Testament, but if you read them all, you'll see that there's a lot associated with that which God had done for them. Just be give thanks unto Him, glorify. And a lot of praise and thanksgiving go hand in hand in the Bible. Right? We're thankful to God, and that's a praise. When you're thankful to somebody, it's a praise to Him as well. Right? And Psalm 100, verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Right? So you'll see some interesting words in here. Come before His presence with singing. Right? So joyful noise, gladness, singing. Verse 3, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Now, to the Old Testament, today we're sons and daughters. Even greater situation with God. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. There you go. He prays in thanksgiving there together as well. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is ever. You'll see mercy and grace associated with, you see, the words keep coming again and again and again in the context of thankfulness. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. See, thankfulness, it says to enter into His gates. We approach God with thanksgiving, right? And we're thankful unto Him, right, for all that He provides for us, all that He's done for us. See, unthankfulness makes you think about that which you don't have. Right, unthankfulness always comes from the point of view of we tend to concentrate on the thing or the things that we don't have, and the more you think about that which you don't have, the more unthankful you become. Right, whereas God, and again, when we read all the context, we can't obviously read all the verses, but you read the context of God saying, "I have done so much for you." Right. Be thankful unto Him. Enter my gates with thanksgiving. Right? We approach Him with thanksgiving. Like, you can always be thankful. There is always something you can be thankful for. Right? And let's go to Dan chapter 6. Daniel. Dan? The new book in the Bible that I've added for this teaching only. Daniel chapter 6.
Dan, not the tribe.
Not the tribe, yeah. The man, not the tribe. I don't even know what tribe Daniel was from. Do you guys, anybody know? Don't know. Might not even say, I don't know. Daniel chapter 6. It says in verse 10, "But now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed," he's talking about the decree. Remember the decree was signed that they were supposed to not ask of anybody but the king, right? "He went into his house, and in his windows, being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime." Right? He gave thanks. It's interesting. That's the kind of prayer that's mentioned here. Right? He just went and gave thanks to God. Right? So thankfulness is a great part of a person's prayer life. Right? Thank you, Father, for what you've done. You know, and like, sometimes prayers can be dominated by the things that we need, right? Or the things that we don't have, and we can miss out on all the things that, and here, all it mentions there is Daniel just prayed like he always did 3 times a day with thanks. He gave thanks to God, right? Wow, that's cool. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, just wanted to look at a couple of verses here. You know, some keys which I believe are helpful in living a thankful life. Maybe they'll bless you. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says in verse 3, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Right. Isn't that interesting? They think that actually getting gain is godliness, which is really messed up, but that's what they thought. From such withdraw thyself. Right. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Right. It's neat the way that God says that. Right? They think gain is godliness, and he says godliness with contentment is great gain. So in these people, they're talking about, you know, they're talking about getting gain, and we'll see in the ensuing verses, it picks up the same topic. But they spend time in trying to get gain. They talk about foolish questions and that cause envy and strife. And God says, well, you know, instead of doing that, right, work on godliness. Right? What is godliness? Godliness is very simply, it's our relationship that we have with God, right? What kind of relationship do we have with God? And God says here, godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, people spend a lot of time getting gain in life, yes? You know, we spend time. And God says, well, how about spending time on developing godliness, right? Who is even concerned about increasing godliness in their life? How much time do I spend working on, again, and we're looking at thankfulness, right? If we have a relationship with God where we're confident with God's presence with us, we're confident that he hears our prayers, we're confident that he's always, you know, you will be thankful, right? You become thankful, right? But if I don't ever, like here, you know, let's keep reading, verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, right? And it is certain we can carry nothing out, right? I mean, we didn't bring anything in, and we're not taking anything out, right? So, because we're all believers, we believe that there is more to life than just the time we spend here, right? If we brought nothing in, we're taking nothing out, then the time that you spend here, that we spend, maybe we want to spend on those issues that will have an effect for eternity, right? As opposed to the time that we spend here, right? That's why God says godliness with contentment is great gain, right? Because that relationship, that vital relationship you can have with God will have an impact even after you depart this world, right? Yes? Whereas the other, you know, gain will not. And that's why God says, look, you didn't bring anything. You're not taking anything out, right? So don't spend time on the things because they're not going with you, right? Whatever they are, right? Verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Right? That's a great, you know, again, talking about being thankful. God says you've got food and clothing, you know, and shelter is also part of that. And we have a place to live. And really, if you have food, clothing, and shelter, can you be thankful? You know, absolutely, we can be thankful. Right? And if we're not thankful when we have that, then we get down the road of unthankfulness. That will kill our confidence with God. Because you can use the analogy of children, right? How difficult is it when you're dealing with an unthankful child, right? I know all parents, you know, we all understand that, and not just parents, anybody, not just an unthankful child, unthankful employee, unthankful friend. I don't care, right? You see it all around you, right? Unthankfulness, right? Whereas in those situations, generally, the person who's been unthankful is constantly bringing up the thing that they don't have. Yes? Right? Or they're looking at other people and they're saying, well, how come I don't have that? Or, you know, I don't have that. How come, you know, he's got that or she's got that or he's got this ability? You know, it's always that what I don't have. But God's constant exhortation is, look at all you've got that I've given you, right? Be thankful unto him. Approach him with thankfulness. Let's keep reading here. Verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that which will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. What great big words, eh? Like, sounds pretty bad. For the love of money is the root of all evil. which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, right? And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Right? So, you know, God says, just flee these things. Stay away from those things. But, you know, by all means, spend as much time as you want on developing your godliness, right? Because that is great gain. And, you know, it's interesting, in the same context, God says, be content with food and clothing and shelter, you know, just be content. And so you be thankful for what you have. You work on your relationship with God, and how you develop your relationship with Him is up to you, right? You know, I can't tell you what I do. If you ask me, I guess I could tell you, but I mean, it may not be something you want to do or need to do. So how do you get your confidence with God? How do you get that? That's up to you. I guarantee you, like, you know, if you want to get a certain thing in your life, let's say you want to be the biggest, I don't know, arm wrestler in the world, right? If you don't do a few bicep curls and a few, you know, push-ups or things every day for a while, you're never going to be the biggest arm wrestler in the world, right? It's just not going to happen. You just can't sit there and say, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this, right? And never lift up a, you know, a dumbbell or a barbell, whatever you can do, however big you are, right? Well, the same thing is true when you say, I want to have confidence in God. I want to have confidence in God. If you have all I ever say, sit around saying, I want to have confidence, I want to have confidence, and I don't do what the Word of God tells me to do to earn, get that confidence, I won't have it, right? It's the same. So God says, look, all these people spend time in getting gain in various areas. How about gain in godliness? You know, and that leads to great contentment, right, and thankfulness, right? Let's go to Micah chapter 6. So how much effort do we put into it? Hosea, Joel, Amos, somewhere after that is Micah. Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, I guess. Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6, even, you know, this is looking at believers, but it says in verse 6, wherewith shall I come before the Lord? And how, and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? You know, this man asking, how am I supposed to worship this God? Should I do this and should I do that? And, you know, even within the context of believers and the things that we do as believers, now I'm not talking about, you know, Gentiles seeking all those things that everybody else seeks after. Now we're talking about within the body of Christ, and this is in the Old Testament, but same application, you know. He says, how should I worship you, God? Should I do burnt offerings? Should I do sacrifices? Verse 7, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Fair speech, eh? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Right. Now, man can do all kinds of things to try to even develop godliness, what they consider to be now things they're doing to please God. They're developing that relationship, you know. I'm going to give you lots of sacrifices, lots, even my own children, right? You know, and they did, didn't they? They did that, right? Verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Right. To me, I read that verse, and it sounded just like 1 Timothy. Right? Food and raiment, be content, you know, have a relationship with God. Walk humbly before God. Love mercy. Doesn't sound very complicated, does it? I think it'd be a lot harder to get 1,000 rivers of oil and a few hundred sheep and lambs, and definitely your own children, right? Than to just, what does it say? Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God, right? You know, it says living a thankful life is a very simple life, right? There's always a foundation for you to be thankful for. There's always things you can be thankful for. Always, always, always. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15, please. Because, you know, in the great day, whatever you think the great day is, right? God says that you didn't bring anything, you're not taking anything out. So what's going to be important at that day? What is going to be important? What have you done? How have you served God? Right? How have you done what the Word of God says for you to do? Love others, right? To worship Him, praise Him, be thankful unto Him. You know, that will be important in that day. Everything else, it's going to be a wash, right? Everything, you may call that the great equalizer at that day, right? Everything else is a wash. In Matthew 15:36, this is when Jesus Christ did that great miracle with the loaves. He says, and He took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks. That's all He did. And broke them and gave to His disciples and the disciples to the multitude. Right? There was the amazing things that He did in order to make that miracle happen. What did He do? Raised the bread and gave thanks. There was no, prayer of so-and-so mug that he had, or prayer of so-and-so book that he had to have with him when he did it. He gave thanks. You think Jesus Christ was confident of His relationship with God? Yeah, I'd say so, right? Look at Luke chapter 17. This is a great record. Gave thanks. I used to watch this TV show on BBC. It was called, Darling Buds? What was that show where they had that, they lived near the airport or something? Is that them? Anyway, whatever. I don't remember. Anyway, regardless what the name of the show was, the guy was the father of the family. I don't remember the actor's name or anything. But what he had a habit of doing was every time his wife made a meal, remember that? She'd make a meal. And it was just a normal meal, like maybe he made meatloaf or something, right? And she'd bring it to the table and say, here's some meatloaf, right? And the family's all sitting around, and he'd have a bite and say, wow, he goes, that is just a great meal. And she goes, well, it's just meatloaf. He goes, no, it's not just any ordinary meatloaf. It's your meatloaf. It's just a great meatloaf, right? And the whole show was him being thankful for just everything. He was just a thankful man. Remember that show? I don't remember. We watched a few episodes together, but I was like, just not any ordinary meatloaf. That's the best meatloaf I've ever had, right? You know, it kind of humorous, but you think about, you can look at every situation in two ways, right? You can. It doesn't matter if you haven't eaten all day or you just get a little loaf of bread or something. You can say, well, I just got bread, right? Or you can say, wow, bread, you know? One comes from a thankful heart, one comes from an unthankful heart. You know, in Luke chapter 17, verse 11, and it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Which is an awesome thing to say in a few verses, right? 10 men cleansed of leprosy. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And it was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering him said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. You know, it shows you that you can get blessed and still not be thankful. See, He's a blessed. He loves the just and the unjust, right? He blesses all. And here, these 9, and it's interesting, Jesus Christ all said that, are you the only one that came back to give glory to God, right? He was the only thankful one there, right? Did they all get healed? Yes. He probably got a greater blessing, but they all got healed. So you can get and not be thankful. That's possible. It doesn't mean you're not going to get. It means that if you're thankful, the blessings are increased. right? So, you know, have you ever prayed for something and you got it and then forgot to thank God? Yeah, I've done that. Where you go later, you know what, God, you answered that prayer. I totally forgot to thank you for it. You know, you think about that. Like, that's what happened here. You know, you thank God and the blessings are even greater, right? But, you know, when God is good to us, he blesses us. You know, and I'm sure he says, oh, they're just, you know, you give something to your kids and they don't say thank you to you. It's, you don't really care. But isn't it greater when they thank you for it? Right? You know, so this guy came back and said, are you the only one? And the thankfulness gives glory to God, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we have to go here. For all you Bible fans who were saying that we have to go to 1 Corinthians 14. If you don't, then you can't be talking about thankfulness in the New Testament without going to 1 Corinthians 14. I don't want to be labeled. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 14:14. It says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. You can pray in tongues, you can sing in tongues, you can speak in tongues as you speak normally. Verse 16, else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, which is speaking in tongues, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving off thanks? See that? When you speak in tongues, you can give thanks. You're giving thanks. Seeing he understandest not what thou sayest. For thou, verily, givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. You see, so when you're speaking in tongues, you can give thanks. You can give thanks well. In fact, it's a lot better because you don't have to even know the situation. Here is in verse 18, Paul says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. So he spoke in tongues a lot. And while you speak, for us, I mean, you know, to give praise and thanksgiving to God, you can do it in tongues. It's such a great way to just be thankful to him and to give praise to God. Speaking in tongues, right? You know, and I would often read that record in the Old Testament where David danced before the Lord, or, you know, where the guy stayed up all night praying for something, or Solomon's long prayer at the dedication of the temple. All these prayers and things you see where they go on page after page after page, and you go, wow, that must have taken a lot to do that. And here we are, we can speak in tongues and never tire of it. You never have to come up with the words, right? And God says, guess what? When you do that, you give thanks well to me. You praise me, right? Man, it's a great lever, not just for prayer, but for giving thanks and praise to God. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5:1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication, and all, this sounds like the section in Colossians, and all uncleanness or uncovetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. You know, but rather giving of thanks. I was in line at the movies the other day, and I was talking to Patrick about this, and you know, I just before you guys arrived, and there were these two women standing behind me, and if I could ever label filthiness, foolish talking, and jesting, which are not convenient, right, that was it. I was this close to turning around and saying, shut your mouth, right? And the interesting thing was they were talking about the other couple, and very derogatorily, right, about the other couple who were coming to join them at the cinema. And as soon as they showed up, they were like, oh, hugs and kisses, right? I'm standing there saying, oh, my goodness, right? God has a great alternative. You know, maybe they were trying to find something to talk about in line, right? And they couldn't come up with it. Well, God has an alternative. He says, instead of foolishness, filthiness, jesting, which is not convenient, but rather giving of thanks, right? Why not? Why not just give thanks? You know, isn't that a better alternative than all the other things you can possibly talk about and possibly think about? Right. In Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, or be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So the one of the instructions there is that when you are in a situation of anxiety, or you can be tempted to be anxious, it's possible for you at that time to be thankful. Isn't that what God says? Instead, again, the alternative, right? To pray with thanksgiving. And how often have you been in a situation, and if you haven't, you should try this, when you're anxious, when you're start thanking God for all the things you can possibly think about that you can be thankful for. God, I'm thankful that, you know, the Lord's coming back for me. I'm thankful you gave me Holy Spirit. I'm thankful I can operate all 9 manifestations. I'm thankful that you love me. You've given me the peace of Jesus Christ. You've shown me your grace by giving me all spiritual blessings in my life, right? You hear my prayers. God, thank you for hearing my prayers every day. I appreciate that you delight in my... I mean, how many scriptures do you know that can lead you to a list of things you can be thankful for, right? And God says, well, instead of being anxious, just be thankful. In Colossians chapter 4. Almost done. Verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Right. And finally, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Again, all the thankful fans love this verse. Are we thankful fans? Yes. We should love this verse. Verse 18. You know, and again, there's a lot of verses of the same nature in Ephesians and Colossians as well. Verse 15. See that you none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Right. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Right. Not instructing us to give thanks for everything, but in everything. Big difference. Right. I mean, I'm not going to be thankful for a broken leg. I'm not going to be thankful for a cold. I'm not going to be thankful for whatever. But if I have a broken leg, if I have a cold, I can be thankful for a lot of things, not that particular thing. And that will get you up and out of all the other ways you can go when we're in an unthankful heart, right? To underscore Colossians, you know, in all the things you can do and all the things that happen in life, after all is said and done, just be thankful. Be content. Food, raiment, and clothing. Walk humbly with God. Love mercy. Do justly, right? And let's work on that godliness, that relationship with Him on a regular basis, the same way we work on so many other things in our lives, right? Let's spend a bit of time with Him. And, you know, whatever it takes to learn to have greater confidence to walk with Him, right? So, be thankful. You're welcome.